Good morning.
Good morning.
It's certainly a privilege to be here with you this morning. I was telling Brother Marty that we're recently of Beulah. We just joined last Sunday, and then we take a vacation. I have been a member of Bethany Church for 32 years, and we started exercising some time ago, and we hadn't been there in quite some time on a regular basis, and we got started going to Beulah, and it felt just like going home. And I pray that every time that we go anywhere, that we feel at home. It should be home. You know, family is here. The Spirit of God is here with us today. Our kinsman is here with us today, welcoming us home into his arms. And it's good to feel that feeling. I love to feel the Spirit of God in singing service, to be lifted up, to feel the wonderful Spirit of an Almighty God. If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with me to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture here, and Lord willing, if He will bless us just for a few minutes, I want to make a few comments on it, and then I want to give way to Brother Marty, because it was my intention to come hear him preach today. He says in Hebrews 10 and 14, he says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Now I want to reverse this order of the scriptures and go from the back to the front. First, I want to speak about those that are sanctified. Who are the sanctified? Well, the world would have you to believe, if you'll just believe on him, then you will be of those that have been set apart or set aside for a purpose. That's what the world teaches today. But the Bible does not speak of it in that manner. The sanctified are all of those that, as he tells us in John chapter 6, that he has given unto us, unto our elder brother, Jesus Christ. All that have been given unto him. If we go to the next chapter, or excuse me, I don't get my scripture. Romans chapter 9 is what I was trying to think. If we go to Romans chapter 9, he talks about Jacob and Esau. And he makes a very specific point. Neither of them having done any good or evil. Neither one of them having done any. In other words, they haven't been born into this world yet. They haven't had a chance to sin or not sin. Now, let's back that up. They're going to sin. As soon as they're conceived, they are sinners by relation and nature. Amen. The blood of Adam flows through them. So they're already in the sin. They've been conceived in sin. That's what young David said, "I was conceived in sin. In my mother's womb was I conceived in sin." He knew from the very beginning that's how it happened. It was from the blood of Adam that flowed through his body. He was a sinner by nature, conceived in sin. But it says in Romans chapter 9, the children having neither done any good or evil in this life, that the doctrine of election might stand. I'm going to tell you, that scares a lot of people when you start talking about the doctrine of election. Well, what if I wasn't chosen? What if I wasn't chosen? You know, I don't believe there's a single person that's not chosen is asking that question today or ever will. Because he tells us in 1 John 4, he says, "We love him because he first loved us." That's the reason. We love him. That's the only way we could love him. Because he has born us of that Spirit. He has sanctified us. He's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world ever began. Was ever even thought of. He's chosen him. So that eliminates this thing called chance. Which I think y'all have it here in Georgia. The Mega Million Dollar Lottery and Powerball Lottery. I was reading the other day, what are the chances of winning? And I was telling my dad, I said, if you don't buy a ticket, you have no chance of winning. None at all. If you do buy a ticket, the chances of you winning are 1 in 1 billion. That's three times the population of the United States. 1 in 1 billion. So if you don't buy a ticket, you have no chance. And if you do buy a ticket, you have a very slim chance. So if it was by chance and it was by our works and our efforts, I'm afraid it would be a very slim chance at best. And I will tell you, it would be no chance at all. It would be no chance at all, because we would never, ever come to Him. We would never, ever want to have any knowledge of Him, any relationship with Him, any kindred with Him. We would not have anything to do with Him at all. So thanks be to God, it's not by chance. Them that are sanctified, those that have been set aside, those of His people that He has chosen in Him. He specifically came to this world to do something for them. And that was to redeem us from out from under the sin. He tells us in John chapter 4, He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin," S-I-N. Now, be particularly attentive to that. S-I-N. The sin of the world. Okay? We're the sin, Adam's transgression. We're cast in that sin. He's come to take away the sin of the world. Not the whole world. He says, this is the world of His people, those that have been sanctified, those that have been set aside, all of those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all of those, He says, in Isaiah 49, that are graven in the palms of His hands. I picture that. We're graven in the palms of His hands. And not only that, He confirms, He says in John chapter 10, He says, "My Father holds us in His hand, and no one is able to pluck us out." So if you're going to say chance, He's chosen us, He's held us, He's known us before the foundation of the world, He's elected us into the grace of an almighty God, and He's holding on to us and never ever will let us go.
Amen.
Sanctified, all of those of His choosing. And He chose us. Why? Because we were sweet, good, and innocent. Well, I just told you a while ago that it wasn't because of anything, any good or evil that we had done. Simply because He chose us, because He loved us.
Amen.
That's the only reason. He works, He tells us in Daniel, He works His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one is able to challenge Him. Not a single person. Not a single person ever is able to challenge the Word of God. It's perfect and exact. No one is able to do that. The sanctified. He goes, we back up, perfected. You know, I stand here before you, a figure of man at 55 years old, 6'1", 295 or 80 pounds, somewhere in that neighborhood. Perfect specimen of human manhood. I am. Not because of what I've done, because you can see I pretty well destroyed this body. But perfected by God. Perfected by the blood of the Lamb. The brother mentioned in his prayer, by natural eye. Thanks be to God, God doesn't look at us through these natural eyes. He looks at us through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These sin-cursed bodies that we stand here in the presence today are covered in the blood. We've been perfected by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that we had an elder brother who was take that responsibility on. And didn't shirk it in any way. And when they were mocking him on the cross, even the malefactors that were hanging there with him, that were mocking him at one time, and one of them even cried out, if, and notice that big if there, he said, if you be who you say you are, come down off that cross and save yourself and save us too, if you be who you are. He was mocking him and tempting him. You know, for me, that would be a big temptation. You sit there writhing in anguish and pain, hanging, suspended between heaven and earth. Couldn't find a second's comfort or peace. Trying to pull yourself up so you could breathe and trying to let off your hands to let go of the pain. But yet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was willing to endure the cross and despising the shame. The shame, the curse. Cursed is any man that hangeth upon a tree. And yet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was willing to do that for someone just like me. Hanging there. And he, through his sacrifice, has perfected us forever. He says, for by one offering. If you read the preceding chapter leading up to this, it talks about the blood of bulls and goats and sprinkling of ashes and all of those sacrifices that have gone on. If you read in the dedication of the temple that Solomon built, there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sacrifices made at the dedication of that temple. All the sacrifices had gone on since the time of Moses and the Passover, all the way up to that point. Many, it had been in the hundreds of thousands, maybe in millions of sacrifices that had been made. And not one single one ever redeemed or atoned a sinner. Not one. He said if it had been, there would have been no need for our Lord and Savior Jesus. And there would have been no need to repeat them. He said they did it year after year after year only to bring them to remembrance. That's all it was for, just to bring it to remembrance. Was it a remembrance to God? No. For us to remember what situation we're in. Why is this having to be done over and over and over and over again? He says, for by one offering. And when he had accomplished that which he came to do, what does it say he did? He sat down. If you go back to the temple service, there was no place for the high priest to sit. Why? Because his work was never completed. Never. Jesus Christ, by one offering, had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, how do we know? How do we know that it was finished and it was completed? Because it was accepted by God the Father. The sacrifice was perfect and complete, and the work was finished. By one offering, he has perfected forever, not just a little while. How long is forever? It's a pretty long time. I don't know how long eternity is. It's more than my mind can comprehend. Time was instituted for humans. But when we leave this world, there'll be no more time. We won't have to worry about it. But we'll be in the presence of the Lord forever because of that one offering. And we'll be perfect in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because of that one offering. And we are sanctified forever because of that one offering. Thanks be to God. He has loved us with an everlasting love. God bless you and keep you.